Views expressed on this program are those of the hosts, guests, and callers, and are not necessarily those of this station, its management, or other advertisers.
You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio.
Feeling bogged down by your daily grind? Not living up to your greatest potential? Then it's time to turn up the heat and get real with what truly matters, be it family, career, wellness, spirituality, or anything else that fuels your inner flame. Join Fire It Up with CJ as this respected life coach talks to a wide range of experts and everyday people for their inspiring and unconventional ideas to help you make the most from your life. Equal parts heartwarmer, cheerleader, and butt kicker, CJ Liu draws on her extensive experience in business and life coaching, along with her intuition and playful humor, to address meaningful topics with truth and irreverence. It takes just one spark to ignite a fire. Now, here's your host, CJ.
Hello, welcome back, everybody. It's back to school time, and you may remember your middle school years when you came back with pimples of flare on your face. You may have grown 6 inches, and you're looking all around at other people and yourself going, what the heck happened to me? And today we actually have guests. Julie Metzger and Dr. Rob Lehman from Great Conversations, and we are going to be giving you a full crash course on what you need to know about your teens. What we're going to start off by talking about what may be happening when they're going back to school and how you can be more compassionate and understanding and connect with where they are right now. And we're going to also talk about some of the other issues, either health issues that teens have that you may want to know about, as well as social issues. And then we'll be talking about the parent issues and how you as parents can let go as your teens mature. So welcome, guys.
Thank you.
Thank you.
So, what are some of the concerns that kids typically have when they enter, you know, enter a new middle school or high school? What are the things that you typically see?
Well, for sure, just as you mentioned, the puberty experience is radically redefines who you are physically. And for girls, that can happen very quickly. Between the ages of 8 and 13, girls can grow 2 to 10 inches and gain 15 to 55 pounds. And by the time they're finished with puberty, they'll have twice the amount of fat as a boy. So their body is really different. And the filter that they see themselves through and the mirror which they look into, they have to readapt their kind of thinking and viewpoint about how they think the world sees them and how they see themselves.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So it seems like, that's a huge change.
Yeah. I mean, it's transforming.
I think I'm going through the same thing as a middle-aged woman. I think I've gained about 15 pounds. Same thing. And it is really disconcerting because all of a sudden you don't fit in your clothes. You have fat where you didn't have fat. Mm-hmm. I mean, it is kind of disconcerting. I can
but
say
people
that
look at you differently.
Yeah.
You know, so that I think that's so much about it. And you're treated differently.
Yeah. I say to my son, I said, you know, we're both going through our middle crises. I'm going through my middle age crises. And you're going, so I actually honestly do know what you're feeling because you go up and you say, who am I? What am I doing here in the world? Which I think is probably what you wake up thinking as well. I don't know. What are your thoughts, Robin? What do you think are the typical things you hear?
Oh, the same thing. I think that you not only see your own body changing, but you're noticing your friends have also changed, particularly the ones you didn't see over the summer.
Right.
And you get the chance to see the same differences that some adults may see.
Right.
And you begin to be treated, perhaps valued differently based on the way you look, in addition to who you think you are. And you're learning a little bit more how you're relating to as a grown-up.
We also know that kids this age are fire up in different parts of their brain a self-consciousness that you can't find with the same ideas in an adult brain. There's this really fun study out of the University of London where they put a bunch of middle school girls through an MRI and they just tried to see what would light their brains up. And when it came to very self-conscious comments, like all your friends have seen you picking your nose, things like that, the girls' brains just lit up like fireworks. And then they put their mothers through the same MRI and they couldn't even get those mothers' brains to remotely respond under the same comments. And I think, again, nature, nurture, what's going on, but you know that girls' self-consciousness.
Yeah.
I mean, the only other time that your body's been under the same transformation is birth to one. Mm-hmm. And there's no, you know, there's no self-consciousness during that time in the same way as you have. So you're very aware of it. And for girls, again, it's very condensed.
Mm-hmm.
And it's highly sexualized world that we live in. Versus boys, puberty is drawn out, but there's some stressful points about that as well.
Yeah. So what are the great conversations that you would have with your child? I mean, you've noticed that they've changed. They're going to notice that they've changed. You're going to see other people changing, either taller, bigger, fatter, whatever. I mean, what's the great conversation that you had with your children or you could have with your children as they're going back to school?
Well, certainly that you're valued beyond your physical self and that your assets and gifts go beyond that defined sense of physical self, and that you as a family or you as parents also value others beyond their physical self.
Mm-hmm.
The amazing Deborah Tannen, who's a linguist out of Georgetown, she wrote a book about mothers and daughters, and when she looked at all the conversations that between mothers and daughters, it came down to weight, clothes, and hair.
Which is so awful.
I think certainly we can rise above those conversations with our.
It goes beyond your weight, clothes, and hair.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay. What do boys do? Think differently.
I think an important thing is a conversation about normal. Like you said, fat, thin, tall, short, they're going to be changing at different rates, and they're going to be very well aware of others, particularly the boys who are slower than their friends will need extra support from the parent about the fact that, yes, you are normal. There is a wide range of how this is going to work in different speeds. And rather than push a small boy into tackle football, which may or may not be appropriate, maybe encouraging sports, great, but maybe a sport that doesn't rely on physical size as much as something like that, if that boy is a little later than his friends.
And that's so hard, though, because, like, for example, where my children go, the big sport is basketball. So, you know, if you're not tall, I mean, and it's hard because if you're not a tall guy, it's much harder playing basketball than not. So, you know, I can see that would be kind of a hard thing.
When we ask boys, or when Rob and our colleagues on the faculty that teach our boys class ask boys, you know, what makes a man? Being tall is a very valued idea in our society, and muscles and a deep voice, so this kind of manly man. And since most of your puberty is defined by genetics, you know, some people, that's just not in the cards. And when you just try Googling the word girl or Googling the word man, boy, you get such an interesting idea of what comes up. For girls, there's 5 pages of sexual content and sexualized girl images. You know, I think it was like page 4 when I finally got to the definition in Wikipedia for girl versus boys. That idea of kind of puppy dog tail, look at the cute boy jumping on the trampoline, boys and Girl Scouts, you know, that idea, that is such a different feel to it.
Yeah, it does feel different. So I understand that they're supposed to be beyond their weight, clothes, and hair, or their muscles and their height.
Hmm.
But, I mean, how do you have that conversation with your kids? So let's pretend I'm your child. Mm-hmm. I came back from school, you know, everyone's so much taller than me.
Mm-hmm.
You know, what would you say to them?
Well, one thing is I would say, let's look at your family and start off there and say, what do we look like as adults? And I would also, if I'm a dad and my boy is looking at his peers as taller than him, I would relate to him what happened when I was his age.
Yeah.
And was I later than my peers?
Here's what happened in my family. This is probably what's going to happen.
There's a good ending to the story.
Right.
So that's good for him.
Yeah.
Some boys may notice it, but it really is not that big a deal.
Right.
So I wouldn't reinforce it if, in fact, that's not a problem in his eyes.
Right, don't make it a problem.
No.
Wow, did you notice how tall so-and-so got? And how short you are? Like, you're not, don't go there.
Right. And although tall is really, really high on their list, I would also see if I can get out of him, what other kind of things make kids popular in school?
Yeah.
And what's happening in school aside from the just measuring the physical size and
well, it's intelligence. Others. That's the other thing I've heard there. It's like it's basically there are the jocks, there's the intelligent jocks, and then there are the snooty, mean girls, and then there are the nice girls and the nerdy girls.
Yeah, middle school.
It's the same as my middle school class.
Middle schools change. The school's now beginning to treat the kids differently. They begin to have selection of classes as opposed to elementary schools, which generally just You just stay with your class.
Yeah.
And you get to be in hallways and locker rooms and all that sort of right. social activity that you didn't have before.
Right.
The whole how to negotiate in a social milieu of your peers changes dramatically yeah. from elementary school.
Yeah, it's true. Well, it seems from what I can tell, they in middle school where they're at, they just the hall time is the time to push, shove each other into lockers and make rude remarks. From what I can tell,
and but it's where they learn a lot of.
Yeah, it's the socialization. It's all those right. little transition points at lunch and during the hallway and things like that. How about for girls? Because I just remember. I mean, it seems so different. Like I remember my innocent, you know, turn to puberty and reading "Are You There, God, Margaret?" You know, I'm like, am I gonna get my period? Will I have breath? You know, I mean, are girls still going through those kind of things or not?
Oh, sure. You know, it's like, again, there's a full range of people's experience or confidence or sense of self during that same transition. I think, again, because their puberty is more defined in terms of numbers of years, lots of girls are finished with puberty by the time they finish up middle school and they
yeah.
get to move into high school kind of with that transformed sense of self versus boys are just kind of getting going.
Yeah.
And I think that girls work out, you know, of course, you're always looking at yourself and asking the question, am I normal or is this going to work out okay? And I think as a parent, first and foremost, that's kind of the question that you have to assume is on all girls' minds. Is this going to work out okay for me and am I normal? And I think so much of girls' puberty becomes a logistical thing that sometimes just giving some really basic ideas of problem-solving scenarios, how to manage your period, what to do about comments. I think that all those things become really helpful skill building and like you're building a little toolkit. Mm-hmm. And I think that part of it is just kind of being awake and alert to watching your girl. I mean, if somebody came up with a specific thing, like you just gave the example, look, everyone's gotten so tall, I'm so short, then you have something that you know is on the mind. But I think you can also assume that everybody, both boy and girl, kind of has this constant idea in their head of, does this look okay? How am I perceived by others? And so through that lens, the unasked most basic question, you can kind of hit that directly and or indirectly by walking the talk. You can begin through your own conversations by valuing other assets and other people. I love the way she spoke up just then. That must have been hard. Or he was really courageous by doing that. Or our family really admires the way he pursued that goal and worked hard to get there. And so those kinds of comments sort of walk the talk of what you value and what you see as important. And that doesn't necessarily come out of somebody walking up and or waiting for the moment to say, am I too fat? Right?
Right.
I think that's where you're forced into kind of and that's great. But I think we have to assume as a parent that all those kids are asking the question of, so is this okay?
Right. Right. And I think actually, even in the description that you gave in the hypothetical talking to the boy, it does answer, am I okay?
Sure.
What is normal? This is what's normal genetically, and here's what I've gone through. So it's really just asking the unanswered question that is behind their mind that they're not even conscious of.
Right.
That's really the concern that
exactly.
they have. And how am I perceived? Like, you know what? Whether you're tall or not really doesn't matter. You know, there are probably kids that are tall that people love and people that are tall that people don't love, right? You know, so it's okay. It's all okay. So don't focus too much on height. And I think you're right. It's not just this one pivotal moment where you have like the end-all be-all conversation where you have to like nip this at the bud. It's probably like a series. I love the last time we spoke. It's a series of 5-minute, 1-minute conversations where you point out other attributes aside from these things. And I think as parents, you have to be careful not to dwell on these things too, because honestly, I'm probably dwelling on it more than they are dwelling on it.
Mm.
Yeah. Right. Even just like for as a mom, it's weird when you talk to someone like, hello, Mrs. Rosenbaum. I'm like, oh my God, what is that? You know, I've talked to this child for like the last 5 years and now they're like, hello. But
so true.
Yeah, I think it's kind of freaky when they come back and they look completely different. I think it's time for break, but I didn't get any notices. But anyways, we have Dr. Rob Lehman and Julie Metzger, co-author of Will Puberty Last My Whole Life? Real Answers to Real Questions from Preteens About Body Changes, sexes, and sex and other growing up stuff. So we're going to talk next with Dr. Rob Lehman about health issues. And this is one of our last two shows on the Transformation Talk Radio Network. And we're going to transfer most of our stuff over to YouTube and some other radio stuff that you can find on our website by going to www.fireitupwithcj.com. We'll be right back.
Summer has come and passed. The innocent can never last. Wake me up when September ends.
Feeling bogged down by your daily grind? Not living up to your greatest potential? Then it's time to turn up the heat and get real with what truly matters. Be it family, career, wellness, spirituality, or anything else that fuels your inner flame. Join Fire It Up with CJ as this respected life coach talks to a wide range of experts and everyday people for their inspiring and unconventional ideas to help you make the most from your life. Equal parts heartwarmer, cheerleader, and butt kicker, CJ Liu draws on her extensive experience in business and life coaching, along with her intuition and playful humor, to address meaningful topics with truth and irreverence. It takes just one spark to ignite a fire. For dates and showtimes, visit www.fireitupwithcj.com or www.transformationtalkradio.com.
Holistic Medical Center is where you find it all. A healthy space with doctors who care, see, and listen to the whole you. Hi, this is Dr. Darvish. If you have not found an answer to your chronic symptoms, you will find answers here at Holistic Medical Center. Our doctors find the root cause of your symptoms and guide your body towards healing naturally. We transform lives from within. Visit us at drdarvish.com, drdarvish.com.
Tune in each Monday at noon Pacific, 3 Eastern Time on TransformationTalkRadio.com to the Elizabeth Anglin Show, your psychic connection to your soul's path. Elizabeth takes you to the Universal Etheric Space Library, where soul records and life lesson plans are stored. This live call-in show will help you decide what your life plan is through the help of your guides and guardian angels. Visit ElizabethAnglin.com or call 1-888-640-4893 to schedule your reading with psychic medium, animal communicator, Elizabeth Anglin.
Ladies, are you living an inspired life? Do you yearn for a more passionate, dream-filled life? Here's Linda Joy, founder of Aspire Magazine, and she has a gift for you.
Aspire has launched its Mission to Inspire initiative with a commitment to give away 100,000 one-year digital subscriptions to women around the globe. Every subscription comes with a multitude of free gifts from our team inspiration partners.
To claim it all, go to AspireMag.net today. No purchase necessary. And live an inspired life.
Tune in to Dialogue Radio with Dr. Jeff on TransformationTalkRadio.com as the stories of the universe are revealed in this engaging and creative hit show. Mondays at 1 Pacific Time, 4 Eastern, Dr. Jeff fills the airwaves with Dialogue Radio, an epic conversation on self, society, and sustainability. Provocative, educational, transformative, and mythic, Dialogue Radio is the place where story seeds the imagination, heals the heart, and inspires personal, social, and planetary evolution.
Welcome back to the Fired Up with CJ show. We have Dr. Rob Lehman here, and we're going to be talking about some recommendations from the American Academy of Pediatrics on some basic things that you should know about your teens, like how many hours should they be sleeping, what is eating Fritos and Cheetos all day good for them or not. I think we know the answer to that.
I agree.
Exactly. Screen time. So Dr. Rob Lehman is the co-author of Will Puberty Last My Whole Life? And Julie and him both do an excellent job of talking to teens and educating us parents about some basics that we need to know. So welcome back again.
Well, thank you.
So what do we need to know about sleep, nutrition, screen time? Give me the download. All the stuff I should have been reading but haven't.
Okay. First is that just because teens happen to have the fewest chronic health needs as compared to infants and adults and older adults, it does not mean they do not need to go for health care checkups.
Ever? I was told every 2 years, right?
I think that's arguable, but I think some families think if the teen doesn't complain and doesn't sprain an ankle, we don't need to go to healthcare.
Yeah.
But there are several things that we do. And even if they're healthy, there are many preventive things that we will talk about, like sleep, like nutrition, like body image, like sexuality, like psychological needs and their development that would be as important as talking about your one-year-old walking or your two-year-old talking.
And is it usually, now, as I understand, when they're teenagers, what age is it that they just go in by themselves and you sit in the lobby?
Ah, that depends on the office that you use for primary care. Some offices are more set up than others for that. Some offices make it a policy that starting really early, maybe even 10, that they may give your child a few seconds of private time just to get the kid ready for that and to get you ready for the fact that your kid needs to be trained in a way how to be a healthcare consumer. And some practices, it's more difficult, challenging to actually to do that. But it's pretty now well known everywhere that if you give kids an opportunity at some point to have some private time, we will maybe make them more comfortable talking about some issues they may not feel so comfortable talking about with their parents. With the proviso that if anything really critical is going on, that of course the parents, they're the prime caretakers and they want to know. And we figure out how to get everybody communicating if they're not.
Without violating any confidentiality that you have with your clients.
Right.
I mean, do they group in certain types of things?
They do. And every state is different.
Okay.
So you would have to check with your primary care physician or
nurse. No, but the type of issues that they bring up, what are the kind of general issues that kids bring up?
Okay, the things that are given some legal confidentiality are sexual issues, reproductive issues, chemical dependency, and mental health. Those are the three main categories of things that have been considered needing some statutory confidentiality. Kids don't need to keep a cold secret.
And
they feel comfortable talking about that. But in the broad area of mental health and use of drugs and alcohol and certainly sexual activity, a lot of families haven't approached those topics with their kids as much, and the kids will sometimes need a guarantee of confidentiality to at least start talking.
I just realized I'm not breathing right now.
It's very hot.
It's scary as a parent to think about that.
It's very hot as a parent. I think a good practice.
So that means you could have a conversation with my kid, and they could say, I'm on drugs, I'm depressed, I need meds, and I'm going to have the baby, and I wouldn't know any of those things.
Actually,
is that
actually, you know what happens in doing a million of these confidential interviews? The parent worries way more than is really going on with
the kid.
But it gives the boy or girl a chance to feel that someone professional is actually listening to them.
Right.
And it builds a rapport. I try every single visit to try to reinforce the fact that the parent is in fact an ally and not an adversary, and try to figure out how to get that communication going in those very touchy areas.
Yeah.
So they're critical. They're important. They will remain important. But sometimes the kid needs an opportunity just for a moment for someone to be looking at them and listening.
Right. And to be and know that it's safe, because if they do feel safe, then they will offer and they do need adult help, if not from their parents. At least I have another responsible adult that will help
them.
And so better than not to have any venue at all, which would be what would happen.
Of course. Right? And in fact, and the opposite is true too. Parents sometimes need to talk to the provider themselves about their concerns. Totally reasonable, fair, and I often invite them in to, can we talk about this?
Yeah.
So,
interesting. Yeah. Okay, so what's some things going back to the original question about sleep, nutrition, screen time?
Okay, sleep, there's a lot more fascinating research going on about sleep, mostly about adults. Actually, we still don't know a lot about adult sleep needs. However, we know that, newborns, they need, 20 hours of sleep a day? Are they going to get it? And as they become older, they need less and less. The question is, how much less? I think most parents probably think their kids get too little.
Yeah.
No matter what they get. Okay. Yeah. So 10 to 12-year-olds, it's recommended need 10 hours of sleep in a 24-hour period. You have to add naps to nighttime sleep. Mm-hmm. So that's total sleep time. Mm-hmm. And teenagers, 9.
Wow.
Now, the bigger deal, I think, for teenagers is their circadian rhythm, their clock changes.
Mm-hmm. Oh, huh.
And again, fascinating research on this, that if you actually study teenagers and you find out when they work optimally, mm-hmm. it's not on adult schedule. Mm. Their clock basically begins later in the day and ends later in the day. So they become, their brain really starts getting juiced up maybe mid-morning or later, and they're going way into the night when I am fast asleep.
No, isn't that fascinating? Because most of the key classes in my children's school are in the morning, when in fact they should be doing PE or art. No offense, PE and art, but
unfortunately, we have some logistic issues. Like teachers are adults, and they want to be on an adult schedule.
Exactly.
There are a few experimental schools that have tried to delay the school day, but it's you need a very cooperative. Parents who obviously have their own logistics, and you have to have cooperative school. Yeah. So it's not going to be easy to do that. Yeah. But I think at least if parents acknowledge the fact that the early morning may not be the time to challenge your kid to a lot of intellectual stuff.
Right.
And
so it's late after mid-afternoon, and once the other, and evening. When in the evening?
Well, they close down later than we do as adults.
Oh.
So that may be why your teenager feels totally okay to be doing multitasking, homework at 10, along with communicating with their friends and checking out the internet.
Right.
And you're asleep and you want them to sleep when you do.
So I shouldn't be doing, what's wrong with you?
No.
Those aren't helpful, I assume.
No. I think the key is, does your son or daughter show evidence that they are sleep deprived? Yeah. Are they falling asleep in school? Are they not performing up to their capacity? Is there a change in behavior? Are they just not doing all the activities to the maximum that they would like to do and that you think they should be doing? Is sleep the reason? There could be medical reasons for sleep.
They
could
be they're growing so
psychological
fast.
Stress, on and on and on.
Yeah. And unfortunately, we only have 30 seconds left. So we're going to have to find about nutrition and screen time some other time.
Okay.
Sorry. We want to know, but tell us later. Okay, thank you, Dr. Lehman. Appreciate it. Make sure to go to greatconversations.com if you want to learn more about how to talk to your teenager. And next, Julie Metzger is going to be up, increasing our awareness on kind of common teenage stressors. And remember, in the next 2 weeks, we're moving radio stations with new times and dates. So make sure to go to Fired Up with CJ on iTunes and click subscribe if you want to get a weekly subscription and keep on tuning in. We'll be right back.
The Ascension Foundation, serving to build an interdimensional community. The Ascended Masters invite you to join them in co-creating this mission. Allow the Masters to lead the way in activating the wisdom of your heart consciousness and raising your vibration. You can communicate with them directly by attending apportation events and classes in mediumship, crystal light energy healing, alchemy, master studies, past life regression, and more. For a schedule of classes, workshops, and special events, visit theascensionfoundation.com. That's theascensionfoundation.com.
Feeling bogged down by your daily grind? Not living up to your greatest potential? Then it's time to turn up the heat and get real with what truly matters, be it family, career, wellness, spirituality, or anything else that fuels your inner flame.
Join Fire It Up with CJ as this respected life coach talks to a wide range of experts and everyday people for their inspiring and unconventional ideas to help you make the most from your life. Equal parts heart warmer, cheerleader, and butt kicker, CJ Liu draws on her extensive experience in business and life coaching, along with her intuition and playful humor, to address meaningful topics with truth and irreverence. It takes just one spark to ignite a fire. For dates and showtimes, visit www.fireitupwithcj.com or www.transformationtalkradio.com.
Tune in each week on Wednesdays at 12 Pacific and 3 Eastern on TransformationTalkRadio.com. And Dr. Peggy will lead you through the maze of info on topics from allergies and antioxidants to zinc and xylitol and all points in between, providing you with simple solutions to help you achieve optimal health for your mind, body, and spirit. Visit SimpleHealthNetwork.com to take your health back and get your copy of Dr. Peggy's amazing cookbook, OMG! That's allergy free.
The root cause of disease is not what you think. Doctors are treating the symptoms, not the root cause, because they haven't been trained to do so. Dr. Alex Lloyd has developed a simple technique that has saved thousands of people from lives of frustrating and debilitating illnesses. This technique has been featured on national broadcast and cable television in People, Time, and USA Today. If you are ready to heal and tired of being treated, visit DrAlexHealingCodes.com, where you will find free life-changing information.
Welcome back. Welcome back to the Fired Up with CJ show. And we have Julie Metzger here, author of Will Puberty Last My Whole Life? And we're going to talk about what gets queried. Gets queried 24.9 million searchers per month. The question, how do I fit in, gets queried 24. I was shocked when I saw that. Are you shocked,
Julie? No, not one bit.
24.9 million people every month are asking, how do I fit in? Are they all teens? I don't know. That's what I wonder.
Well, you know, I think that's funny you ask that because I think I'll never forget a time I'm on the airplane and I have a sort of how do I fit in book that's written for preteens. And this woman sitting next to me on the airplane, who's 35, gorgeous, professional woman, turns to me. She goes, is that a good book? And I said, oh, are you a teacher or do you have children or whatever? And she said, no, for me.
And it's a question we ask our whole lives, isn't it?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
You know, you want to get in the right book group as a 45-year-old, and you want to get into the right group as a 14-year-old.
Yeah. It's kind of interesting. I guess it's, I mean, we're animals programmed to be in
social.
So it's kind of, I guess it makes sense that we're always kind of wondering, how do I fit in? So, I mean, what kind of conversations can we have with our kids? You know, they go back to school. They're like, Mom, I haven't met anyone. I don't have any friends. I don't feel like I fit in.
I would say, again, if you broaden that out to the 40,000 foot level, people are always asking in the same way that they're saying, how am I, is this normal? They're saying, how do I fit in? Or how am I seen by others, both socially, physically, right? But there was a large kind of toss out to from Girls Inc., which is a large website, and they sent out to, you know, several hundred thousand people, and the girls wrote about, what are the things you worry about the most? And the girls said good grades, type performance. They said how they look, being made fun of or fitting in, and how people are treating them, and then whether someone that was close to them was sick or ill or dying. Those are the things that they went to bed at night. And so just this last couple of weeks, I was working with a group of middle school girls, and I asked them, what are the things that keep you up at night? And the first thing they said was, how others see me, how I fit in, whether I manage my day or how I review my day, and I think to myself, did I say something stupid, or were they talking about me, or how will I get into that group? And that's a pervasive thought. They are not thinking about algebra. They're just imagining what's my part. But I think the work of middle school kids is to actually practice the art of being in a group.
Mm-hmm.
I often get asked by families, what happened to my really independent thinking fifth grade girl that now sort of seems
right.
like she's compromising herself to be in a group? I said, she's also practicing being a part. And I think all of us know that to be a part of a group, there's some sense of compromise in terms of saying to yourself, I need to listen to others' interests before
yeah.
my own. I need to adapt my behavior to sort of modify a little bit to be a part of this. And when you feel really mature, an adolescent moving into adulthood, you can achieve autonomy within a group. You know,
mm-hmm.
you can be your whole self, but still be in a part of a group. But I think middle school is a practicing time.
Yeah, and that's frankly the tension.
It
right?
is.
The tension is that you want them to assimilate and know how to work within
right.
group dynamics in a healthy, positive way, to compromise, to give,
sure.
to listen, and all those things. And you still want them to be independent.
Sure. And that is a learned skill.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why people who degrade the middle school experience socially, I say it's oftentimes it's an opportunity to learn those skills, and
mm-hmm.
and mistakes will be made within that.
Right.
You'll compromise too much. You'll be too much of a. And I think that I love what Joanne Deke says when she calls them cocoons of safety. You're trying to find a safe place to
mm-hmm.
land within a group. And again, and a mature adult can be autonomous within a group. When I asked my eighth grade daughter, what's the hardest thing about being your age? She said, well, first of all, Mom, parents like have no idea how hard it is. And I go, that's why I'm asking. And
yeah.
she said, it's how to be the person you know you want to be and at the same time social.
Mm.
And I think I said
that was very astute.
That's true for 54.
Yeah.
Year-old person. It's the same idea. How do I go about being who I want to be and at the same time social? So if the group that you're interacting with is a group that you think you want to be a part of and they're all gossipers, but you consider yourself a person who does not gossip, do you participate or not? Those are challenging moments, and
yeah.
mistakes are made.
Yeah, and then there's actually no right or wrong,
no.
right? You either join the group and say, oh, I'm not a gossiper and I hate this and I
right.
don't want to be part of it, or... yeah, I can swing with these gossip ladies. In
yeah.
fact, I can dish it out. You know, I mean, whatever it is.
Exactly.
And then you decide, well, even if you can dish it out, do you really want to?
Or you
dish
go 6 months of that and you go, this does not feel right for me.
Yeah.
But while parents are watching and interacting with that, they're kind of horrified watching their children try
yeah.
on some of those different
right.
ideas or behaviors or groups. And I think sometimes parents want to move so quickly. Like, I don't like my daughter's best friend or my son who he's hanging out with. And part of it is a trying on, you know, it's a good thing to get to the end of the year and go, boy, I now know when I choose a friend that's too bossy, that doesn't go well for me. That's a great thing to know.
Mm-hmm.
How do you know that until you fool around with the idea of being around a bossy friend?
Mm-hmm.
You have to live into it. So it's equipping your kids with the skills they need to manage or find themselves so that they don't lose themselves within that.
Yeah, but I think what you're saying is key, though, because what you do probably naturally, and I don't know if many parents do, I do it because I'm a coach, but I'm now going to do even more effectively after talking to you, is that what you're trying to do is help them define their personal boundaries.
Sure.
Who are they? Who are not? How can they, you know, what are they going to stand up for? What are they not?
Right.
How are they going to stand up to those things? What did you find out about yourself through this whole experience? If you almost know the questions to ask afterwards, then it kind of all becomes a learning and it doesn't feel so arduous and awful.
And I think,
you know?
Even during, not yeah. always after, but during.
Yeah.
When somebody seems stressed and you can say, I've noticed that when you're hanging out with Joe, sometimes you come home and you seem angry. And what is it that you think is going on there?
Mm.
And I think even those things where you're exploring out loud, not in a judging way, because
right.
I think the second you add your own opinion in there, it changes up what your how your child can even see it, right?
That's my mistake.
Yeah.
Okay, why does that I do that? I'm like, oh, well, I noticed Joe was blah blah blah. He said it's my blah 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 blah.
Yeah,
you know,
we don't like Joe.
Or,
right.
We don't like Joe, which then probably means to the kid, oh, I shouldn't like Joe.
Right.
Is that right?
Or I like Joe even
I like
more.
Joe more.
I think for me, I think it's a more like, I noticed that when you're with Marilyn that you know, I notice you can even speak to only to the positive and then also speak to, here's what I'm noticing when you've been with them, or I have a good feeling about that, or boy, I really enjoy how you're loyal to so-and-so, even though I think that looks like a rough friendship or whatever. I mean, yeah. I just think it's so
interesting. You can say your observations in kind of a neutral place.
Yes.
Yes. I like how you walked away when she was handing you a joint. That makes me happy.
Very good.
Good judgment.
Well, the key to good decision making, right? And when because you know that after middle school, you get to high school and you get offered more opportunities to take more higher risk things. If you've practiced some of these things to be autonomous within a group, you literally look at that situation and think to yourself, I've been here. Mm. I know this. I have stood alone within a group before and it went fine. That was difficult, but I know what to do now. Versus someone who tries to steer their kids away from those experiences, mm-hmm. then those kids don't have those skills and they get into that moment.
But
and
I think as parents, we don't realize, like, that is the best reframe that I've ever heard, where it's like, you know, this is their entree into understanding group dynamics.
Right.
And this is an opportunity to help them to find who they are and the boundaries that they have. Like, I'm all for that, you know. Then I'm like, okay, I'll let go and let you make mistakes, you know, because then that's the only way you're going to learn is to practice and try a whole bunch of different things.
It was fun. I was working with a group of middle school girls yesterday, and I said, we're talking about group projects, group things, both friendships and a group project at school. And I said, which of you likes to be the leader, the owner? And of course, you know, and you just see those hands go up. And I said, how do you know that you're the leader when you start a new project? Do you turn to the group and say, do you mind if I'm the leader, or could I be the leader, or would you like to be the leader too, or how does that happen? Mm-hmm. And it was even interesting to ask those ideas because they had never thought of it. They sort of assume.
I haven't thought of it as an adult. Mm-hmm. You know, you get in groups and you're like,
my job is to be quiet.
Yeah.
My job is to speak up. My job is to be the writer.
Yeah.
And I said, it's interesting to invite a new role in a group. And I think the more we can invite our kids to...
Then they have a place, too. Oh, I love that.
Yeah.
That's good. Yeah, so that they're actually very specific and articulate about their... And proud of their role versus, like, I'm not the leader. You know, or why do I have to follow? You know, whatever it is. Yeah, wonderful. Thank you so much. I learned so much from you guys. Come back again and again. Please teach me how to be a parent. In fact, that's what these guys do. They teach you how to be the very best possible parent, to be a coach, to be aware of what your teenagers are going through. And I think that that is just such a treasure. So thank you very much for being here. Make sure to friend us on the Fired Up with CJ page on Facebook to get more details on our new time and date and station. And we will be right back.
Summer has come and passed. The innocent can never last.
Laura Longley is on a mission to remove stuckness from your life for good and replace it with happiness. Tune in each Tuesday at 1 p.m. Pacific, 4 p.m. Eastern for Blue Heron Wisdom Radio with Laura Longley, where authentic change takes flight. Say yes to that inspired you and goodbye to your stuckness as Laura and her guests deliver powerful ways to work through common problems in this fun and unique hit show. Check out Blue Heron Wisdom Radio with Laura Longley on TTRnetwork.com.
Feeling bogged down by your daily grind? Not living up to your greatest potential? Then it's time to turn up the heat and get real with what truly matters, be it family, career, wellness, spirituality, or anything else that fuels your inner flame. Join Fire It Up with CJ as this respected life coach talks to a wide range of experts and everyday people for their inspiring and unconventional ideas to help you make the most from your life. Equal parts heartwarmer, cheerleader, and butt kicker, CJ Liu draws on her extensive experience in business and life coaching, along with her intuition and playful humor, to address meaningful topics with truth and irreverence. It takes just one spark to ignite a fire. For dates and showtimes, visit www.fireitupwithcj.com or www.transformationtalkradio.com.
Welcome to Sisters Talk Radio. Awaken the feminine power that glows in your heart. There are just certain heart-to-heart conversations you can only have with your sisters. The conversations you crave when you need to reconnect. Mona and Savitri explore our feminine power as they look at headline topics and what women are talking about. Join us on Sisters Talk Radio, Fridays at 2 p.m. Pacific and 5 p.m. Eastern. Only on TransformationTalkRadio.com.
Hi, my name is Dr. Dane here from Access Consciousness. Are you a seeker, a dreamer, one of those people who's always known that there should be greater possibilities available but haven't yet been able to create it as your life? I'd like to help. Go to creatinggreaterpossibilities.com, where there's a free video and audio series created especially for you. Once again, creatinggreaterpossibilities.com. It's free, and it's designed to give you the actual tools that you need to create the life you've always been looking for. creatinggreaterpossibilities.com.
How would you like increased health and vitality? How would you like to avoid the onset of disease as well as slow the aging process? This is all possible through a simple, safe, and natural process. Every day, we are either moving toward wellness or away from wellness.
Hi, I'm Mary Jane Mack. I'd like to be your partner in achieving optimal health. Contact me now at MaryJaneMack.com or call 425-392-0659. Visit MaryJaneMack.com.
Hello. Well, we love Mumford & Sons. We're back. So, and we're going to talk about, as parents, how can we let go of our kids gracefully and still be connected and present in their lives as we allow them to mature and become the adults that they want to become, or they should become. So our guests today on Fired Up with CJ are experts on having great conversations with teens. In fact, you can go to their website, www.greatconversations.com, and find out all about their lectures in Seattle and their book as well, which is, what's the title again? Will Puberty Last My Whole Life? Yes. In different forms. Yes, it will in different forms. Your hormones will continue to change. I'm a testament to that. Welcome back, guys.
Thank you.
So it's very hard, and we were talking about this before. It's really hard to, you know I read all the parenting books. You're supposed to let go of your kids, let them make mistakes. It's just so hard. And now that, you know, I think actually in the last segment when you're saying, you know, this is their chance to learn and make mistakes. This is their best time to do it. So really allow them to be in community, learn how to be in groups and make mistakes. I get that. But what else can you do to help convince me that I need to do this? It's hard to let go.
Mm. Well, I don't even think of it as letting go so much as staying close while also standing back, because I think it's very hard for any child, teen, whatever, to feel like you're untethered completely from a safe place and a secure place.
Right.
So for lots of different ebbs and flows of your life as a preteen and teen, you have a different sense of the need of how far away you can actually stand from your family or your parents. And I think sometimes I say to parents, it's not as stepping back. In some places, you have to step forward and towards your kids, especially when you're experiencing a difficult time. You need to not step away, but actually step toward. So it's staying awake, and it's being aware of where the stresses are for your kids. And I think they need to feel like there's a place that they can land safely and know that it will be there for them.
Mm-hmm.
So I kind of have a problem with the idea of saying letting go or whatever, because then sometimes parents then just turn and walk backwards because they think, well, they're independent, they're whatever. And that's not actually totally true. I think that kids are interdependent, and we are interdependent our whole lives, right? Nobody completely operates solo. And your kids aren't ever going to operate solo.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to rely on someone to bag their groceries and be their bank teller.
Right.
So it's learning how to be in community, learning how to find your own gifts and strengths, learning how to navigate challenging situations and what resources to call. Those are skills that are part of what can happen at a dining room table.
Okay, so you talk about stepping back and then stepping forward. What are the things that you're like, you know, in teen years, what are the things, typically things like, yes, no, step forward. You know, because as a parent, you're like, you know, you're going back and forth, not knowing when to, like, maybe I should step forward, maybe I should step back. You know, I don't know if I'm being too controlling. You know, it's like, it's unclear which one of those two things. Are there certain things, like, I mean, there seems to be obvious things. Like, if your kid is, you know, having a drug dependency or is, like, pregnant, like, you don't, I don't think you step back. I mean, do you? I mean, what? I mean, there are certain things where that, I mean, there's this gray area where it's unclear as a parent when to step forward and when to step back.
A couple of things I think people need to think about when they think of kids going on their independency path.
Mm-hmm.
Number one is that maybe one idea is that kids are dependent and then all of a sudden crash, they hit that graduation from high school, they're out of the house. It's basically throwing them into the swimming pool to swim. And that doesn't work. And I think, like Julie said, they are going to be interdependent and somewhat dependent at times on you way past that particular time. I think the other thing is that the path towards gaining an independence for the kids is not a smooth uphill all the way from kids to adults. Mm-hmm. There are going to be ups and downs, good days, bad days, good phases, bad phases. Mm-hmm. And I think, like you were just saying, if parents move forward and back, depending on the needs of the son or daughter at this particular time, you may find that your otherwise extremely adult 24-year-old, when she or he has a crisis, is going to need you as a parent to return, providing them more guidance, help, assistance, good thoughts, whatever it is. And I'd like to think that actually extends to your death.
Actually, I would agree.
Your relationship, your whole life.
I also think, you know, when people think sometimes, I hear all the time families will say something like, gosh, so there's the helicopter parent that's always hovering and being too involved, but then there's also parents who go, oh, now that they're 13, they don't want to do stuff together. I think parents need to step towards and say, you know, what interest do you have? How can I be a part of that? Let's go skiing together. Let's walk around Green Lake together. What is it? And there are times when your seventh grader is looking right at you with those big, you know, eyes like, how am I going to pull off tomorrow? That's a great time to step toward and to say, you know, how about if we take a walk together tonight with the dog, and or create some traditions and rituals that that create opportunities for conversations that, again, say, I'm there, I'm with you, and I'm not going to, I'm there for you in good times and bad. And I think that is, that doesn't say I'm going to fix it, I'm going to problem solve for you, that I can never even make it better, but I'm a part of this experience, both for good and bad.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And I think lots of times traditions and rituals are a great place to start for families, whether it's pancakes with dad on Saturday, whether it's a family.
Yeah, we always have family dinner together.
Yeah, or a bike ride every summer that everybody takes, or hike backpacking is your thing you do, or whatever that is. I think those are the kinds of things that families, you begin to go, what is it that has meaning for me? I can always count on my dad. I met an eighth grader last spring, and he just totally intrigued me. He was so fabulous. And I said to him, what do you do outside of going to eighth grade? And he goes, I'm a juggler. And he goes, I'm the best juggler I know. And I go, how'd you get there? And he goes, 4 to 6 p.m. every Wednesday, for as long as I can remember, my dad and I have juggled.
Aww.
And I thought to myself, that is truly remarkable. Mm. I go, can you toss 6 balls? Can you throw flames? Can you do it? And he would just go, yes, yes, yes. And I thought, that didn't cost his family anything.
Right.
It was something they counted on. He told me the exact time and day that as long as he could remember. And I thought, now that is amazing.
In fact, the juggling doesn't sound as important as the fact that it was a 4 to 6.
Yeah.
At the same time, he gets to be the best juggler, which is a sense of competence and a cool, unique thing. And he's headed off into high school with this cool, unique skill that he built on his own with his dad. It didn't require 6,000 million lessons of anything that you had to go pay for. It was a part of what they shared in relationship. That's a stepping toward.
Yeah. And not letting go. I just keep on imagining, you know, how they have those dogs on those tethers, and they like they have a boundary around them. They have a perimeter that they can run around, but there's an anchoring point in which, you know, they can always, like, there's somehow safety in knowing, like, okay, I need to stop, but That's what I envision.
Yeah.
It's not as lessened of a stepping forward and backwards as a dog choking itself. But I think of it as that way, right? Because in those cases, the dog is tethered to something that they can depend on, whether it's juggling or whatever, on, you know, it's, they're grounded in the family that is going to be there, that supports them, and then but keeps them around a certain perimeter so that they can't.
And the perimeter gets wider and wider.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah,
but
yeah.
But the stake there says, I'm here.
Yeah. Yeah. Beautiful. I just love your work. Okay, so tell us more about your lectures that are coming up too.
Well, we have a mother of sons and a dad of daughters talk, those two different talks, and Rob takes the mothers and talks about being a mother of sons, and I do the dads, and we have all the dads in the room and dads of daughters, and we're going to do that at Sunset Elementary in October in just a couple weeks. And that's always fun.
Okay, people go to greatconversations.com. They can find out all about your lectures. And they also have a book called Puberty Lasts My Whole Life. Thank you so much, guys. This is so informative.
You're very welcome.
And love your perspective on things.
Good.
So thanks. Great. And make sure next week we have Sarah Weissman, who is going to give us a spiritual perspective on how to live your life. And make sure again to subscribe to our shows on iTunes by going over to Fired Up with CJ and clicking subscribe. Have a great weekend, everyone. Bye-bye.
You've been listening to Fire It Up with CJ. Tune in each week on Transformation Talk Radio at 1 p.m. Pacific Time, 4 p.m. Eastern Time for more of Fire It Up with CJ. It takes just one spark to ignite a fire. For dates and showtimes, visit www.fireitupwithcj.com or www.transformationtalkradio.com.
Stimulating talk.
It gets those synapses in the brain firing really fast.
All the time.
The number one.
Transformation Talk Radio.
Transformation Talk Radio. A higher consciousness perspective. The hosts on Transformation Talk Radio offer a positive and new paradigm shift, a new vision for a collective future. They are empowering and helping all of us experience a powerful wave of personal shifts and cultural change as we break through to even greater levels of awareness. Take down our toll-free number, 1-800-930-2819. Call in, connect, make sure you tap into some of the world's most empowering psychics, healers, and more. Get an on-air reading with the best. Tune in, TransformationTalkRadio.com. Hey everybody, we'll see you there.
We are living in a time of great challenges and greater opportunity for transformation. The good news is that public awareness of the need for change is also growing exponentially. More than ever, your transformative message is needed to empower millions across the globe.
Hi, I'm Dr. Pat, host of the Dr. Pat Show, and I'm excited about announcing an unprecedented opportunity for growth as we expand our broadcast by launching Transformation Talk Radio and the Transformation Network. Join me and a team of amazing people and host your own show on Transformation Talk Radio. Get ready to expand your horizons, tap into the best listeners anywhere, and join one of the most positive and expansive networks today.
Historically, there came a time when the boundary of water was transcended as man developed the boat, and the barriers of water became freeways. Join Dr. Pat as she launches this exciting venture. To host a show, call 1-800-930-2819 or email host at transformationtalkradio.com.